give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about the message of the cross, and our foundational scripture was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, which says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the message of the cross doesn't make sense to people when they just hear it. It requires their eyes to be opened. It requires the eyes of their understanding to be transformed. Now, that point for the unbeliever comes because the Holy Spirit is always trying to draw. So that point when those eyes are open to this truth is not necessarily when God desires to do something, but when we're at a yielded point and we can accept the truth. See, there's a truth about gravity that works no matter whether you choose to believe it or not. And you can say that you don't care about it, and it doesn't make a difference while you're walking on the ground, because you're just living in it. So you don't have to acknowledge it because it's already operating. It's the same way for the unbeliever. The curse that's on the earth, it doesn't make a difference while you're in the earth whether you believe it or not, because you're on the earth. You're in the curse. So it doesn't make a difference. It only makes a difference when you get to a cliff and you choose not to believe that gravity works. That then all of a sudden the reality of gravity becomes so serious, and that's what happens to the unbeliever. The unbeliever is living in the cursed world, and the reality of salvation sometimes does not make sense until they step off the cliff. And then it's real. But it's real right now. So the message of the cross is foolishness. So sometimes people won't accept it because they say, that doesn't make sense. I'm standing on the ground. I'm fine. No, you're not fine. Gravity works, and so does eternity. Eternity has a life of its own. Eternity has rules of its own. And we can choose not to believe it if we don't want to. But at some point or another, it will come into play where you can't resist it. Now, if I acknowledge gravity before I hit a cliff, I can manipulate gravity and learn how to fly. That's what the Wright brothers did. They understood how gravity works, and so they created a machine that allowed them to fly. Why? Not denying gravity, but taking advantage of gravity. The message of the cross is the same way. If while you still live, you acknowledge the cross, you acknowledge salvation, you can learn how to fly. You can take the message of the cross and you can learn how to live in a new way before it's time to go over the cliff. So the truth that we are trying to make sure that we understand in this message of the cross is that it is, number one, it is critical that we understand that all humanity is born with the DNA of sin. That once Adam fell, all of humanity was corrupted from not how we live amongst each other, whether we're good or bad with each other, but we were corrupted from being in the class with God. See, the word says that God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. He created them in his image. They were in the class with God. They were made to be like God. But the fall of Adam, the first thing that Adam recognized is something is different about me. I'm naked. I've lost my covering. See, they were already the same way, but their eyes of their understanding were enlightened, and they realized that once the presence of God was pulled back from them, they were naked. So we know that we have that genetic truth in all of us. No matter how beautiful you are, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how smart you are, no matter what your gifts or talents are, no matter what, you have the imprint of sin on you. And you can't avoid it. You can't deny it. That's what human beings are. They are less than God. That's not God's original design, but that's what we are. And so if you ask anybody, everybody say, well, nobody's perfect. Right. Exactly the point. We all find somewhere the flaw that's in all of us. The message of the cross is that Jesus, sinless, flawless Jesus, lived and has now substituted his life for ours. And that we now have he who knew no sin become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we have now become the righteousness of God, even though we don't look like it. Even though we may not feel like it, it's what we are. Not because we earned it or deserved it, not because we prove it, not because we do anything, but because we believe on Jesus for our salvation. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Being saved means not just salvation, we said this before, it is wholeness. It's to be made whole, to be sozoed, to be fully made whole. In other words, to be blessed. We are blessed. Now, what I want to do today, last week we talked about, let's go to the next passage here. We went to the book of Numbers last week, and we're going to read this real quickly again. In the book of Numbers, we see the children of Israel, in a picture of our salvation, are led from slavery in Egypt. They pass through the Red Sea, a symbol of baptism, and they go to the edge of the promised land. And when they get to the edge of the promised land, God tells Moses, select 12 of the brightest men, one from each tribe, and send them into the land that I'm showing you. And so they go out, and they find that the promised land is everything God said it was going to be. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. They brought back the produce. They found figs and grapes. They found adequate food. They found all this stuff. And then we get this situation. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So after being delivered, they got to the edge of the promise, and they did not have confidence in themselves, when themselves is not what brought them out of bondage in the first place. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out. Now they just gave a good report, but now when the man says, now let's go do it, they give a bad report. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, who came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. They disqualified themselves from entering into the promise of God because they felt like they were grasshoppers. So last week we talked about the fact that that image of the grasshopper is that holdover from being a slave. Is that the image that is created as a slave followed them over. It followed them over into even when they're free and they're into the promise. And the picture is a believer who receives the gospel and knows that they're saved, but they will reject teaching or opportunities that come and say you can be blessed. I have seen people sabotage themselves when opportunities laid in front of them because they can't believe that the opportunity would be for them. They get to the edge of a promised land. They believe in God for something great. And when God opens the door wide open, they can't go in. Why? I'm a grasshopper. I don't belong on that side of the line. Well, why have you been praying about it all this time? Because I know I'm supposed to, but and people become frozen from being able to do it. I found myself, I was praying, and I said, Lord, I think I want to get a master's degree. And I said, oh, is that your will, Lord? And Lord sent me a confirmation. I said, okay. So I was looking around at different programs. And I found this one program. And this one particular school, a really prestigious school, and I had the application all complete, and I called them and talked to them. They said, oh, yeah, you sound like a great candidate. And I put the application down, and I never sent it in. I was frozen because I was a grasshopper. The school intimidated me, and I was a grasshopper. And I never sent it in. I talked to the guy on the phone. He said, man, yeah, you sound like a great candidate. Your background, this, that, great. Couldn't send it. Why? Because my image of myself wasn't there yet. See, all of us have those things that present themselves. They present themselves as giants. They stand in front of us and they challenge us to come across the line. They challenge us and they stand there and they say, and we don't consciously think, oh, I'm a grasshopper, but our behavior suggests that we believe that we're grasshoppers in somebody else's sight. And we hold back, or we don't go all the way, or we don't start at all, or we don't apply, or whatever the case may be. But those giants will present themselves. Why? Because you have been given promises, great and precious promises. And with those promises, it is for sure that the adversary's voice to you is, I will not let you have those. But he's not an authority to stop you. So they cried out. Now, very important to understand. God has made us as a body of Christ. And so when we are a body of Christ, one of the things that happens is we feed off of each other. And so some of the theologians calculate it's 1.5 million people who leave Egypt as the Jewish nation to go into the promised land. That Moses leads 1 million people. Now that's crazy when you think he doesn't have a microphone or anything else. Moses is leading 1 million people out of slavery into the promised land. But God says, send 12 spies into the land to spy it out to see if it's what I said it is. And of 1.5 million people, 12 people come back and they bear the report. And it says here that the children of Israel had a bad report of the land which they had spied out. These 10 people with the bad report tell 1.5 million people that there's a bad report. Let's go to the next slide. So all, somebody say all. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Why? Because 10 people with a bad report came and told them it can't be done. It's 1 million people out there. But the report of 10 caused all of them to break down and cry. They cried all night, that night, not all night, that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, if we only had died in the land of Egypt, why couldn't we just die as slaves? Or if we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to slavery, to Egypt? See, the giants scared them so bad, they were willing to go back and become slaves. And in Christianity, that's called backsliding. We find Christians who come into the light of the gospel. They receive the good news of God, and they begin moving forward. And when the giants present themselves, they say, man, this warfare is too much. I'm going back to slavery. And they go back to slavery. But our job is to not be the voice of the 10, but to be the voice of the 2. Our job is to be the voice of Caleb. And remember that the words that we speak have power. 10 people ruined the destiny of 1 million people. Later on in chapter 14, God tells Moses, he said, I'm done with this people. I'm going to make a great nation out of you, Moses. And Moses said, God, you can't do that. You can't do that, God. Because then all the people, the Egyptians who we conquered, they saw the goodness of God, they're going to say God couldn't take his people into the promised land. You can't do that. God's not willing for any to perish, but that all should have eternal life. That's what God's desire is. He doesn't want anybody, but he needs at least two voices to speak up and to say that God has a plan, that God has power, that God is well able to bring us through whatever it is that the giant presents itself as. You can say God is well able to heal our land. God is well able to heal our cities. God is well able to create jobs for people. God is well able to teach kids so that they can rise to the level of their capacity. But there are too many voices that say, oh, the schools are destroyed, the schools are horrible, let's give up on the schools, forget that. Well, no, don't do this, don't do that, you can't do this, the economy's horrible, this is that. There's too many voices like that speaking, and we need the voices of the two to raise up. Our words have power, and we have to understand how powerful our words are, because if we don't understand how powerful our words are, then we will never be able to impact the world. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 18, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we're not going to look at that. I want you to think about this, because one of the reasons that they were grasshoppers, so they viewed themselves as grasshoppers, was not just the words that came out of their mouth, but the condition of their hearts. Keep your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4, verses 23 and 24. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. And this version is spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. I want to break this to you real quickly. Keep your heart with all diligence. See, what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Then put away a deceitful mouth. Now, the word deceitful in this particular case is not just deceptive. The word, the Hebrew word that's there, it actually means one that speaks false truth. In other words, don't speak things contrary to real truth, which we know is the word. Don't speak things outside of that. Don't speak things that don't agree with what God has said. Look at the next thing. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. The word perverse means distorted. Don't speak distorted truth. Now, God's truth is truth. Everything that doesn't agree is distorted. See, it's the distorted truth for me personally that I was not able to be a student at that school. Why? Because my reflection of who I was at the time was that I wasn't a great student in high school. Not because I wasn't smart, but because I just wasn't interested. I got my bachelor's degree. I went to college. I was a junior in college for 17 years. Before I finished my bachelor's degree, okay? All right? So my image was shaped on those things. So when I have an opportunity to, from being the student who was concerned when he got called to the office on the last day of high school as to what this meant, to a person who's going to go to one of the most prestigious schools in the country. My image, my grasshopper image, in my heart was an image that didn't align with that. So no matter what I wanted to do, my heart would not allow me to do it. Now, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues. The word issues in Hebrew is not issues like I got issues. It's the word border, boundary. Out of your heart comes the boundary of your life. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart is going to come the boundary to your life. That was a boundary for me. That was a boundary. That came a boundary of what I think I'm able to do. What am I believe that I have a capacity to? The children of Israel went out, and once they heard the word, they were all cool with God doing everything until they heard the word giants. And their boundary was established. The issues of their heart were released. When God just took us out and Pharaoh said, "You can go," we didn't have to fight. It was all cool. But with the giants in the land, we're going to have to fight these giants. That's different. Moses, if you were just going to lead us out into the land and we were just going to receive the land, that's fine. But if we got to fight for the land, we've been slaves for 400 years. We don't know how to fight. Moses, we've never been taught how to fight. We can't do that. Out of their hearts came the boundaries, the issues of their life. See, your capacity, we talked last week about that grasshopper identity. The grasshopper identity starts to set boundaries. Grasshoppers can't drive cars. Grasshoppers can't fry chicken. Grasshoppers can't do things because of what they are. And when your identity is something, there are certain things that you are not able to do. So we have to recognize that there's something planted in you, and you need to figure out what is in there, because you need to get it aligned to the Word of God so that you can release what you're created to be. They were not made to be slaves. They were made to be the people of God, but they were slaves because of something that happened in the hearts, and they accepted slavery. See, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not slaves. Joseph, who was in Egypt, was not a slave. He was a slave, but he became something else. His descendants were to be honored, but all of a sudden, how'd they go from being the honored of Joseph, who saved the nation, the great national hero, Joseph? How did his descendants become slaves? Somewhere along the line, somebody's heart got changed. And out of the issues, the boundaries, was set what they could become. So now we're talking about the cross. And the cross has brought us redemption. And with redemption comes freedom. However, even though you're free, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. See, God has a will that goes past other things, but sometimes we're just accepting the acceptable will of God. I started a new job, and my boss told me, we were going over the strategic plan. She said, "Okay, well, this is our metric for the work that you do. This is what you're doing." She said, "Now, do you see that number?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's the basic number to keep your job." "Well, this is the public strategic plan for the whole organization." "Yeah, but for you, that's what you can do to keep your job. To excel, you're going to have to go over the top." See, God has a perfect will, the will that you can just keep your job. Keep your job with God. Just don't backslide. Just be a Christian and live. That's the acceptable will of God. But God has more for us. God has more for us. He don't want us just to make it in. He don't want us just to just survive. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to take us over the top. He wants to make us extravagant in the things that he is able to do, because God is extravagant. God is able to do everything. God says, "I'm going to make man," and God says, "You know what? I'm going to make man. I'm going to put him on this little pinhead called Earth, but I'm going to create this giant universe around him." Why? Because God is extravagant. We're looking for life on other planets. Keep looking. The universe is expanding. No kidding. God spoke his word and the universe began to expand. But he did all that to create this. So here they are at the edge of the promised land, not able to go in because out of their hearts borders have been set. So the question for us is, What borders have been set in our lives? What borders has the enemy laid in front of you that become those things which you can't cross? I used to meet with people and they'd say, what kind of career transition are you going to make? I want to become a doctor. Okay, great. We can do that. Really? Yeah, you really can. If you want to become a doctor, you can become a doctor. But I only have a GED. So what? If you want to be a doctor, you can be a doctor. I'm not telling you can be a doctor tomorrow. I'm not letting you cut on me. However, if that's what's in your heart to do, there is no barrier. It may take some steps to get there. However, there's no barrier to getting there. A lady came to me. I was in charge of ministers training. She said, I'm called to be an apostle to the nations. I said, praise God, yes. She said, you believe me? I said, yes. If you believe it, then I believe it. But she's expecting resistance. I'm not going to fight you. If you said that's what's in your heart, I'm going to support what's in your heart. And I'm going to tell you the truth about how to go there. My job is not to edit what you can do. My job is to encourage you and to help you get what you need to get where you got to go. So if you say that's what you're going to do, I'm going to ask you questions. Have you thought about what this is going to cost you? Because Jesus said, count the cost before you do something. Count the cost and then look at the cost and say, we are well able. Be like Cable. We are well able to do this. We may have to fight some giants. We may have to tackle some things. We may have to do some stuff. We may not get some sleep tonight. We may do whatever, but we can do this. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. Let's go to the next passage here. I have another passage for you I want to go to. Matthew chapter 12. Are you with me?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 12. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its what?
Fruit.
Brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the what? The what? The mouth speaks. Whatever's abundant in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. See, listen to this in Proverbs. We just read Proverbs 4, right? We read Proverbs 4 and 23, but let me read you verse 20 because, again, Scripture is always connected. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. See, the power here is that we want to remember that your words impact things. The reason that the children of Israel went and cried all night is because the words of 10 people, which came out of the abundance of those 10 people's hearts, those words came and they destroyed the faith of the people. Those words were spoken and they destroyed the heart and the courage of the people. It was going to be just as easy for them to say, before we speak, let's go talk to ourselves. And let's tell the people one thing. But they said, nope, we can't do this. And the hearts of the people failed. So Matthew, let's go back to Matthew 12 real quick. Matthew 12, 33. Make the tree good or make it bad, which indicates that there's a choice. Either make the tree good or make the tree bad. One of the two. Don't let it be both. Make a choice. The tree is going to be known by its fruit, by what comes out of our mouths. Look at verse, let's go to the next one. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. See, the produce of our lives, the same thing, this agrees with the borders. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. Make the tree good, make the tree bad. It's up to you what tree is going to be. You can make a decision which one you want it to be. But whatever it is, you got to take from the good treasure of your heart to produce good. You got to let your mouth start to bring forth the things that are going to bring good. You need to get your heart right. Have your heart prepared. Have your heart ready. Have your heart already set to be able to speak the issues of life, to speak your borders, to speak where you can go, to speak what you can do. If you want to, oh man, my son's graduation, it was an astronaut as a speaker. And he told the story about being an astronaut and being the child of a migrant farm worker. And as a migrant farm worker, he said, and back in the 60s, he's sitting there watching TV, and they see the astronauts land on the moon, and he says to his father, "Dad, I want to be an astronaut." So what does a migrant farm worker who has a 7 or 8 year old son who says, "I want to be an astronaut," what is he supposed to say to his child? Because whatever he says is going to establish the borders. So he said, "Yes, son, you can be an astronaut. And here's how you're going to become one." And he spoke a simple plan. And it don't make no difference what the plan is. The point is that he spoke. And so his son brought it to pass. Why? Because it was spoken over him. So the children of the spies say to the children of Israel, "We can't go." And their words had power, and their words caused them not to go. Their words stopped the move of God. Their words stopped what was going on. Why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. But the tongue is fueled by what's in the heart. And the heart is fueled by what we choose. With the cross, we know we are redeemed. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. So you know what? My words need to say, "Praise God, I'm redeemed. I've been bought with a price. I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus." And because I've been bought with a price, man, if the blood of Jesus is precious, then what does that make me? See, you got to start cultivating an attitude that's not an attitude of pride in you, but an attitude of understanding the value of what God has invested in you. See, if there was a Picasso painting hanging here, and we started a bid, and somebody says, "I'll pay $100,000, I'll pay $200,000," based on the bids, you would start to say, "I may not understand what this is, but it must be valuable." If these bids are going higher and higher and higher, boy, this must be valuable. Now, I tell you now, tell me what you see. I see some kind of weird, a lot of colors, and I don't understand what it is. But you know the value because of what people are willing to pay. When God says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." When you receive that everlasting life, you have to know that you are valuable. You are valuable to God. And so I can't be a grasshopper because I'm too valuable. So I said to myself, "Man, I can't send this application." And I sat on the application for 2 years. I kept sitting on it. I couldn't send it. And then all one day, I said, "Forget it. I'm just going to throw this thing away. I'm not going to have nothing to do with it." Now, I filled it out and saved it. I had it in a folder. I printed it off and I typed it. I got it ready to go. But all it needs is an envelope and a stamp. That's all it needed. For 2 years, I sat on it. Why? Because a grasshopper spirit was there. That grasshopper spirit was standing in my way. It was stopping me. I finally cast the thing down. I didn't go to that school, but I went to and did what I had to do because I won't be stopped by a grasshopper spirit, because I had to recognize I got to guard my heart. These boundaries can't be here. I can't have these boundaries in my life. How am I going to serve the eternal, everlasting God and have boundaries in my life? How am I going to serve the almighty God and then be looking at things and saying, "Man, all these boundaries are stopping me"? So I had to stop confessing things. I don't care what nobody else around me is saying. Certain things I'm not going to say anymore. Why? Because they represent a boundary, I'm not going to say it. If it represents a boundary, I'm not going to have it. A matter of fact, God probably would tell me to go overcome it just so. So I remember that I'm not a grasshopper. So there was an image painted in my life about work and about working hard and about never being able to make it, about never having enough, never having this, never having that, never having this, never having that. And you know what? I found that grasshopper. I found it. He hopped a long time. He hopped around all around the house for a long time. And my kids were asking me something, and I would have a reaction. I have a grasshopper reaction. Rather than go back and say, let's see how we're going to do it. Let's see how God wants to provide. Let's see how God wants to work this out. I had a grasshopper response. See, none of us are exempt from this. Everybody's got them. You got to find them. And when you find them, stomp them out and go to work on them. All right, let's read the rest of this. Out of the good treasure that's in your heart. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Amen? Words out of our mouths start to establish the boundaries. The cross has given us access to God without condition, whosoever will believe. The blessing, the sozo, are ours. The blessing of God, the anointing of God, they're ours. Healing is ours. The ability to be healed, first from the inside, then working outside. It's all available. It's all available to who will believe. All God wants is us to get our heart in position to believe. Get our heart ready to accept and receive it. Last passage we're going to hit real quick. I want to go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and 3 and 13. Galatians 3 and 13. Are you with me? This is that final summary of what the cross has done. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ became a curse for you. Jesus became the curse for us. Our job is to believe on the sacrifice of Jesus, is to believe on the blessing that comes with it. So we asked the question, Tammy was saying she was meditating on the promises of God. And is it how many? If you know one promise, that's all you need. And this is the promise, the only promise you need to know. The only promise you need to know is in verse 14. Let's go to the verse 14 real quick. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And it says that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the only promise you need to know. If you understand the promise of the blessing of Abraham is on your life in Christ, that when you're in Christ, you receive the same benefit from God that Abraham received in his life from God. You say, well, who is Abraham? Abraham was a man who believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham's whole life was just about believing God. Get out of this house, your father's house, and go to a land I'm going to show you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. In you, all the families of the world will be blessed. I'm going to make you a great nation. If you remember that God's desire is to bless you by faith, that's all you need to really understand. Because the blessing starts to author things, even things that you don't see specifically written in the Word. The blessing of God starts to author things that you understand, that is it God's will for me to go left or right? It's God's will for you to go and let Him bless you. You don't have to get stuck or paralyzed on one thing. You don't have to get stuck to I don't know what to do next. No, you know what? No matter what, I'll be blessed. See, Abraham's son, grandson, Jacob, goes to a house and gets cheated. But he doesn't fight with the cheater. What he does is he just operates and the blessing overtakes him. So he leaves that man's house rich. Well, wait a minute, wasn't he serving him? Yes, but he left rich. How's that work? Blessing. The blessing of Abraham might fall on us, come upon the Gentiles, those who don't have a covenant with God, but you have it through Christ. Amen? Amen. So the message of the cross is foolishness. So some people will hear this message and say, that's foolish. That's ridiculous. Out of the mouth and heart, what does that mean? That don't mean nothing. It's about what you do. Yeah, it's about what you do, but what you do is proven by what's in your heart and what comes out of your mouth. It's going to sound foolish to some people, but you know what? It's the Word of God. So the question for us is, can you accept the Word of God, or do you want to be like the 12 spies that say we can't, or the 10 spies who say we can't do nothing? We can't grow. We can't become anything. We can't do this. We can't do that. All those things that people say they can't become. But God's calling us is to say, hear me and become what I called you to be. Become what I called you to be. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Word. Right now, I speak over everybody's life here. I thank you by discernment that you reveal every grasshopper in our lives. I thank you right now that by the Holy Spirit, you reveal everything, every giant that's presented itself as an obstacle to your people. Anything that's holding your people back, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, no matter what it is, we bind that thing right now in the name of Jesus. We bind that strong man, and we declare boldly with our mouths that we are well able to overcome this thing. We are well able to overcome sickness and disease. We are well able to overcome poverty. We are well able to overcome any kind of educational barrier. We are well able to overcome any lie of the adversary. We are well able to overcome any addiction or problem or habit. We are well able to overcome anything. And not only are we well able, we are able to minister to those who are struggling. And I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the divine wisdom of God to fall on us, that we might know the power of the cross, that the cross has once and for all led us to be substituted with you, that we have been made the righteousness of God. I thank you right now that no one in this place take any condemnation, but every person be encouraged in the blood of Jesus, encouraged in the power of God, encouraged in the life of God on the inside of them right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for us being good soldiers today right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not soldiers fighting with men, but soldiers fighting the good fight of faith, declaring boldly and openly that we are well able to do anything in the name of Jesus. We thank you for every deceptive spirit, every spirit that would try to pervert our words, Lord God. We rebuke those things right now. We rebuke the spirit that would say we're too old. We rebuke the spirit that says we're too young. We rebuke the spirit that says we can't do this. We rebuke every spirit that we don't know, we don't understand. We rebuke every spirit. And we speak life and peace over everyone here. Every giant shall be defeated in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. We thank you for the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding to rest on everyone in this room today. Thank you for the peace of God. No anxiety about anything, but peace. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything, and in general we pray for four things. The first thing is that if you don't know the Lord, there's a lot of familiar faces, but we never know. If you don't know the Lord, we want to pray with you. If you're here today and you just have been struggling with something, something's been presented itself as a giant in your way, we need to, you just need somebody to be in agreement and pray with you to move that giant.